of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in, just turn me loose.
What could
straddle my old saddle?
What could we possibly be saying there? Hey, good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel and to our group this morning. I will just tell you that one of our panelists, Rich Honan, running a little late, so we will welcome him in a few minutes. There is an accident here in Albany that's causing all kinds of problems, and so Rich is on his way. He has been in constant contact, but he'll be here in a few minutes.
Sounds like a T.
Constant contact?
Yeah.
Yes. But Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good morning. We had a wonderful WAMC Board of Trustees meeting last night. You were there, and we had great fun. Everybody was in high spirits. It was terrific. And I went home, and I came back, and now I'm tired.
What is it like? What, rinse, repeat? Yeah. Shampoo, rinse, repeat. Yeah, that's kind of what we do, right? Yeah. Well, good morning. And Teresa Bourgeois is here. I have to say, as the news was coming in, Teresa just wrote me this note of like, oh my God, what is happening?
OMG.
And I wrote back to her and I said, you know, I think I have an outlet for your outrage. And thank God I did because Rosemary is unable to join us this morning. So I don't know. Maybe Thursday was her last day. I don't know. Hopefully we'll see her tomorrow. I'm not sure. But anyway, thank you very much for coming in.
Interesting to be here today.
I know it's
we live in interesting times. Yeah.
Well, so let's get to it. We welcome your letters. I don't know, but I can certainly guess that this will probably be the sole focus of our conversation this morning, but we'll see. There are so many facets to this story. It seems hard to believe that this won't be what we'll be focusing on. But we welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. Okay, so the news came in shortly before 6 o'clock last night. Donald Trump firing James Comey as the FBI chief, citing Clinton email inquiry. The dismissal raises many questions about the Russian investigation. So there's a lot here. There's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to talk about. And we will do our best to try to be as linear as possible. So May 9th, 2017, Donald Trump writes the letter, "Dear Director Comey, I have received the attached letters from the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General of the United States recommending your dismissal as the Director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I have accepted their recommendation, and you are hereby terminated and removed from office effective immediately." Here is the essential paragraph, yes. I believe. "While I greatly appreciate you informing me on three separate occasions that I am not under investigation, I nevertheless concur with the judgment of the Department of Justice that you are not able to effectively lead the Bureau. It is essential that we find new leadership for the FBI that restores public trust and confidence in its vital law enforcement mission. I wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors." So what do we make of that, which is, by many accounts, a strange letter?
Well, I hope I'm being heard here. I don't know. Maybe I just raise
I can hear you.
Oh, if you can hear me.
In my headphones, I can hear you. You're booming
now. In. Oh, good. Okay. So anyway, I'm depressed, to say the least. Here's what. We have all branches of government basically under Republican control right now. There are a lot of people who are calling for, justifiably, a separate investigation, a separate committee that would do this, or a special prosecutor. And as you all know, the special prosecutor law, which was on the books for a while, is no longer there. They wiped that out. So if you have a new FBI chief, who's going to appoint that new FBI chief? Trump. With the confirmation, I believe, of the Senate. Yes, I believe so. And I think I'm right about that. Joe, do you want to?
Would it not be the Attorney General? I believe the Attorney General would appoint.
Well, the Attorney General may do it, but do you think that the Attorney General and the President aren't...
No, clearly with Trump's approval,
yes,
or recommendation.
Well, okay. So they're mentioning people like Rudy Giuliani. They're mentioning people like the governor, the disgraced governor of New Jersey there, you know, Christie and all the rest. Okay, so here's what's depressing to me. So Trump would appoint the attorney general, Trump, the FBI chief, one way or the other. He fired him. He gets to hire him. Okay, next. If there's a special prosecutor appointed, which everybody wants, who appoints the special prosecutor? He does. He does. So now, if there's a special committee, and I think this is the only way that this is going to be resolved, because this is a terrible, terrible blot on American history. But if anybody does that, we're going to see that it is a joint committee of Congress or a special investigatory committee in the Senate. And there the question is, who's got guts? In other words, at what point, we saw Burr yesterday, the head of the committee, casting grave reservations about the way this was doing and issuing a whole bunch of subpoenas from his committee following up on the Russian investigation.
You have John McCain calling for exactly what you are positing here.
It's the only solution.
And but Lindsey Graham seems to agree, although he
Lindsey's on the other side.
He came out this morning and said that he would be for that, but he did not see a connection between Russia and the firing, which is strange to me. But anyway,
is that the same Russia where the head Russian is coming into the office, the White House office today?
He was here today. He was meeting with Rex Tillerson as we speak. So
and now the president. Added, as of last night at 11 o'clock, they've added a meeting with the president.
With
the
president. Yes, but he's meeting with Tillerson right now.
Right now, as we speak.
He arrived.
Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall figuring out what Trump is going to talk to that Russian guy about?
So the point being, though, if we already have five committees investigating this between the House and Congress, there's five committees. So
five Republican committees.
So what is another committee? I guess I wonder what another committee is going to do that the first five have been unable to do.
A, it will be in the Senate, and that's where the hope of the American people can be placed.
Well, there is a Senate committee, though, right?
No, I know, but they need resources, right, Teresa? They need resources, they need staff, they need a whole bunch of money in order to do it. And I'm sorry, say your thing.
So there's two sets of ways that this can be looked at. And there is whether or not the administration appoints somebody. And as you said, you know, there used to be a very strong special prosecutor, independent counsel law. It expired in 1999. It allowed a three-person panel to pick somebody, and that person reported to the three-person panel, so there was some hands-off. But both Republicans and Democrats didn't like the way that had worked in practice, and so they let that expire. So there is still a possibility.
Known as the there, but for the grace of God, go I law.
Exactly. Yeah. Because both sides had had problems with it, with Whitewater and with the Republicans as well. So there is a possibility that the Attorney General can appoint a special prosecutor who then has all the investigative powers, but is independent.
What do you mean independent?
Has some independence, but the people question. But that person, their findings can bring charges, legal charges against people. Separate from that is whether or not the Congress investigates, and they can appoint either a joint committee of House and Senate, Democrats and Republicans, or they can appoint a joint special panel of the Senate, joint special panel of the House. Now, why does that matter different from the existing committees? One of the reasons it matters is because each of the committees now who are investigating have very narrow jurisdiction. And but if you do this joint committee, then they have broader jurisdiction, so they can look at a lot more in different things. Mm. And right now, one of the complaints about the committee is that they don't have extra staff. And so they also then get a lot more staff. They have broader jurisdiction. They have subpoena power. But what they can't do ultimately is they even given their findings, they cannot take any legal action.
Okay, I want to just move beyond two quick things here because there's a little wonky.
This is so much.
No. There's just so much here. But can we talk about the timing? And right. Rich is here, by the way. Congratulations. Good morning, Rich.
Thank you very much. I apologize.
You actually said, I thought you were going to be here late.
You were so fast. That's good.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I hope you didn't come.
Someone's going to have to pay the parking ticket.
Or the speeding ticket.
We'll move your car at the break. My question is, I want to kind of go through this in a linear fashion. So let's talk about timing. Why, given the reason that we are given that this is over the what the president sees and the assistant attorney general sees as poor handling of the email server issue during the fall campaign. Why yesterday?
What a bunch of booshoo. I mean, we all know what's going to happen. Why this is being done, Joe? We know what's happening. The hounds were getting too close, and on the Russian thing, no two ways about it. That is my opinion, but I'm sure I'm right. And now we have to fire him in the same way Nixon had to get to do what he did with Elliot Richardson and everybody.
I actually want to get into a Nixonian conversation in a minute and go history because I know we have our history buffs here. But yes, Teresa.
I want to hear from Rich too. But I think one of the reasons it was speculated last night is that Trump was very concerned about Comey's testimony last week and about Yates on Monday. And Comey was scheduled to testify on Thursday.
Right. Well, why can't he testify, by the way, even if he isn't the
Well, there's some question as to whether he can or not. Yeah,
right.
whether he will be testifying.
Right, and the Democrats have called for him to testify. But some speculation is that they just did not, you know, Trump was so disturbed that he did not want him to testify. The question for me is this letter from Rubenstein?
Rod Rosenstein.
Thank you. Rod Rosenstein, sorry. Who wrote that letter? You know, that's the real question.
Now, there has also been reporting by CNN and I believe the Washington Post that this has in some way been in works for weeks.
Correct.
That the Trump administration had been looking for a way for an excuse. So to your point that they heard what they heard on with the last Comey hearing and then decided to move forward using that. But again, it brings up the question of timing. Rich, what do you make of
this? Yeah, and you guys have said the same thing that Schumer said. You know, I think Schumer said, you know, the first question to answer is why now? And, you know, what's fascinating to me is tacitly we've all skipped over the issue on the merits. It doesn't sound like anybody has an issue with Comey being fired.
Wait
a minute, because I'm hearing that the issue is the timing, and because you know, Schumer said the first question is why now.
Well, okay.
Why was not the first question why are we firing him?
Whoa. Rich, I'm going to let you answer. I promise. I just want to formulate a question just so you know.
Go ahead.
Give it a little back, which is if we're taking their reasons for face value, okay?
I'm not.
Let's review the stated reasons.
I'm not necessarily.
Let's just take them for that, and let's say that is the reason. Then what was different between now, May 9th, 2017, and January 20th, when the president could have gotten rid of Comey?
And in formulating that question, Joe, what are you really trying to get at here?
Well, meaning that so if the reasons are the reasons. Oh, we have a lot of letters today.
I can't imagine.
I just got here.
I can't imagine.
It's not all about you, Rich. Meaning,
what has changed between January?
Yes.
Okay. A couple of things, very clearly.
Because I understand the argument that Democrats have been calling for Comey to get rid of Comey
and
for
Republicans.
And Republicans. Yeah. Okay, so we're on the same page there. But the question is the timing. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go, Rich.
A couple of things. So first, if you remember, I said, you know, after the election, I said I would have gotten rid of Comey first thing. Okay. I think the first problem was on January 20th, there was no attorney general. There wasn't an attorney general confirmed until even a couple of weeks later, until February 9th. Okay, so right, I think that when you're going to fire somebody who answers to the attorney general, you need an attorney general, and you need to be able to have that individual's input. That's the first thing.
Well, there was always an acting attorney general.
And remember,
yeah, right.
And
Sally
remember,
Yates,
Rich,
the acting attorney general.
He was kissing
Democratic
his,
operative.
Trump was kissing Comey's buttocks. Don't you remember the whole thing that was
in the White House.
Was going on? And how he's the best thing, and it took real courage, and what a wonderful man he is, and all the rest.
Oh,
of it.
I don't think Trump has been any less hypocritical than anybody else on Comey. I mean, depending, you know, on it seems like on even days, you know, the Democrats love him on odd days, the Republicans love him, and then they hate him on the other days.
So get to your argument.
So my argument is, first of all, when you're talking about somebody who works for justice, the Justice Department, you should have the head of the Justice Department there when you're making that decision.
Okay, so that would bring it into February.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Second, it looks like the person who ostensibly authored this letter, the person who ostensibly started this initiative, was only confirmed, I think, 2 weeks ago?
Right.
By a vote of like 96 to 4, by the way. And so whether that person was handpicked to do this or that was just a personnel issue, I don't know. So that's part of it. But the other, what's changed? I think the testimony that Comey gave last week, I think, was, and listen, I sat in front of 200 angry but very polite WAMC listeners.
Oh, they loved you.
Do you often get booed by 200 people at 10 o'clock in the morning?
No, they love
it. They were very
nice. One
thing we all shared, you could add them to the list. One thing that we all shared was, if nothing else, the unseemliness of Comey's performance, you know, the whole, yeah, and I think I used the word angsting. I mean, I think that after that performance, it's really hard for anyone on either side to take the position that he is some stalwart defender of the independence and professionalism of the FBI, and he's just covering the FBI in glory.
Okay.
So I think that's one of the things that changed.
Now, we have 30 seconds before we have to go to a break. But with that said, And I thought you said it very eloquently, by the way. Not that you need me to say to. But my question is, do you believe then that it has nothing to do with Russia?
I think it has. I don't believe it has nothing to do with Russia. I think it has to do with a little bit of everything. But I think it has to do with the fact that
with the credibility of him handling the Russian issue.
I think it has to do with his lack of credibility. I certainly, and I guess you could take that either way.
Come on, Rich.
Yes or no? Should he have been fired yesterday?
I think he should have been fired
yesterday
or as early as possible.
Go to a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Alan Chartok, Teresa Bourgeois, and Rich Honan on the panel this morning. We are talking about the firing of James Comey, the FBI director, by the President of the United States late yesterday afternoon. We have a ton of letters. Let's go to those, and then we will start unpacking some more of this very big story, which I'm sure the letters will help us do as well.
Okay, but before we do, I just want to check in on something that Rich was saying. He's entirely wrong. Okay, Mike says...
By the way, can I just give the rules real quick?
Yeah, well,
on letters, just
yeah,
especially
sure.
today.
Yeah.
Please remember to keep your letters short and to the point. Don't include links. We can't click them on the air. We don't read them anyway, so don't waste our time. Don't waste your time. And because we're doing these on the fly, don't use abbreviations. And here's an idea. Quickly proof your emails before you click send, so you make sure you're not saying anything that you don't want to say and that you do say what you do want to say.
Well, that spell check is shame for you. Okay.
That's right. Go.
So Mike says, good morning, fellow proletariat.
Good morning.
Am I being too paranoid to think that it was pre-planned by Trump administration to conveniently fire Comey while he was across the U.S. in a public place, probably with his close FBI associates, and guaranteed out of the office? That way somebody could go through his office, see what he's working on, destroy any evidence. I put nothing past this leader. Your thoughts? Thanks, Mike. Okay.
Well, we heard two reports yesterday. One was exactly as the letter writer said, that they were waiting for him to be in L.A. talking to a field office so that they could go in and go through the office. The other thing that was reported was that they sent over, and you can tell me who they sent over, Teresa.
The White House office
person.
The body security guy who Charlie plays on the West Wing.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so they send him over
to deliver the letter.
To deliver the letter, and he's not there, and then they're surprised that he is in L.A., and then they sort of don't really know what to do at that point, which is then because it was already being delivered to the media. So there are two narratives there, and we don't know really.
You think Comey was ducking them? Like George on that episode of Seinfeld.
Oh my goodness.
I have to say, it was surreal to see CNN follow the Bronco down the LA freeway to go to the airport.
The Bronco car, it was like OJ. Okay.
By all accounts, though, that he learned this from a TV screen.
That was in the room.
In the room, yeah.
he was talking to agents, and he thought it was a joke, and then they took him off stage and they said. There is no joke.
It is not a joke.
There is no joke.
It's true.
Floyd said that. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you think they'll replace, says Gail, do you think they'll replace Comey with Giuliani?
God, I hope not.
I woke up with a real bad stomach ache last night. Julie says.
Well, let me just say that Giuliani was in the Trump Hotel last evening. Two very, reporters had gone to the Trump Hotel to see who might
this
be dining
in
there in Washington, D.C., to who might be dining there, one from The Atlantic and one from The New Yorker, and who was there but Giuliani. And so they spoke with him and they asked him, do you think that, you know, would you take the job if asked? And he said, I won't be asked. But remember that both he and Kallstrom are under investigation because of what they may or may not have done in terms of talking with the people in the Bureau, New York Bureau.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so that's one of the issues that came up during the Comey hearings last week.
I love you, Teresa, because you know what everybody else doesn't know. I mean, you really bring the stuff in, and you process it, and then you tell us all. It's great. Julie says, so Perjurer General Jeff Sessions comes up with a belated Clinton reason to fire Comey because he had to recuse himself on Russia investigation. This stinks so, capital S-O, so badly. Complicit from Julie.
Can I ask Rich about this question, though?
Okay.
A legal question.
Okay.
Because he recused himself, Sessions, how was he allowed to be involved in this chain of letters?
Absolutely.
Well, because what I understand is that he recused himself from that aspect of the Russia investigation.
Yes.
But the Trump letter specifically referenced Russia. So how could he be in that chain?
Yes.
Legally.
This was a personnel decision for somebody who reports directly to Sessions.
Wait. He had recused himself. What are you talking about?
He reports to the assistant attorney general.
First of all, he recused himself from the Russia investigation. If he actually said, I need to recuse myself from this decision as well, that's like saying, I know this has something to do with the Russian investigation, so I can't be involved.
No.
It's a personnel decision.
Teresa is right. Trump had referred to the fact that he wasn't under investigation.
Because Trump knew that the letter was going to get picked up, and so he wanted to make it clear. Which, by the way, I'm not sure I would have
said
that.
No, it was a stupid move.
I don't think it was,
middle paragraph.
I don't think it was a great move. But I think somebody at the White House, whether it was Trump or somebody else, decided, well, let's at least put in there that, you know, three times you've told me I'm not the subject.
Which we don't even know if it's true. When Kellyanne Conway was asked.
And would that be legal if it were true?
I don't think it would be legal for Comey to have told him one way or the other. I'm not sure.
No, you could ask whether you're the target. You could always ask.
You can ask whether you're a target. FBI?
Yeah,
they often tell you. They often what they'll say is, you know, not at this time.
Yeah.
Because you often ask whether your client, for example, is a target because you want to know, should I be asking for immunity? Should I be, you know, what's going on? And they will sometimes tell you.
I do think there's a legal question about whether or not it was legal because he had recused himself for Sessions to be involved in this.
The whole thing stinks. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Wayne says, we need to find out if Kellyanne Conway is an android because there may be a secret production line going on somewhere to spin us all into oblivion. And that's Wayne from Amherst, the town that I love a lot. And by the way, if I were John Faso this morning, or if I were, you know,
Elise Stefanik.
Yeah, that's the one. If I were Elise Stefanik this morning,
here to help.
I would be thinking about checking in on this because you have a huge group of people who don't like you now because they don't respect, you know, what you're doing on healthcare and the rest of it. Well, this is where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? That you have to say, no, this isn't right. This just isn't right. I would say that if I were them. Anybody want to put down bets?
So you guys were saying Comey should have stayed?
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
I am.
Yeah, I think you can't.
I am. And I didn't like Comey, as anybody who listens to this program knows, because I think he did destroy the Clinton candidacy.
I think there's a very high threshold for which you can fire an FBI director.
I absolutely agree.
And I think it's been done once before by Bill Clinton. And what was the reason? The reason was...
Alleged racist remarks?
No. It was...
He had, like, bought cars and stuff with... Right?
Used federal employees.
It was ethics
questions that were raised by the previous Republican administration and documented using federal officials to do work at his house. He was traveling privately on federal money, that kind of thing. And when that happened... Janet Reno negotiated with him for 6 or 8 weeks.
And he wouldn't do it.
To step down. And he wouldn't do it.
And they fired him.
And then they repeatedly asked him. They tried to settle it privately.
Right.
And then they fired him. Much different than this. And remember that Free, who came in the next time.
Louis
Free. He and Clinton clashed for years. But Clinton would never fire him. And
yeah, you only get that many firings.
Yeah, you don't fire your FBI
director. Oh, listen, I think we all, when I said it first after he got elected and everybody said, wow, it's a political move. I said, yeah, but I think Comey has so, I think he has so undermined the FBI's credibility that I thought he had to go.
Come on, the hounds were getting too close. Right. This is disgusting.
Let's be honest.
You guys were not digging him last week, but now that he's been fired, suddenly he's your new liberal icon?
This is disgusting. You know full well what's going on here. We all know what's going on. The Russian thing was getting too close. I've been saying all along, if he gets caught, it's going to be because of the Russian thing. And you know, it's as obvious as the nose on your face. Peerless panel, said Jim. Preet Bharara, Sally Yates, and James Comey, now all fired while investigating the Trump administration. Senator Schumer pointed this out and was lambasted by the president as, quote, crying Chuck. The hopeful part is that conspiracies, unlike what theorists think, are hard, very hard to contain. The truth will be exposed. And you know, I see, even when you go back to the Nixon thing, Joe, you really have to think, would the
this
Nixon...
This is the Saturday Night Max.
Yeah.
The Nixon
would all of this...
Firing of Archibald Cox.
Because of subpoenas that were issued to the president.
Yes. And
that was a much bigger deal.
It was in that if John Dean hadn't... Was it John Dean who told about the tapes in the first place? I'm sorry, it wasn't John Dean. It was...
Reuter.
No. Who told about the tapes, that the tapes existed? It wasn't
Magruder? I could be wrong.
Well, maybe you're right. Doesn't matter.
I don't remember.
The point is there were tapes, Magruder. And if there weren't those tapes, I have a feeling Nixon would still be president, at least for the term of his office.
Favorite tweet of the evening?
Yes.
The Nixon Library tweeted out when they were saying this is Nixonian and that Nixon fired his FBI director. The Nixon Library tweeted out a correction that Nixon never fired his FBI director and hashtag not Nixonian.
It was the attorney.
You take your solace wherever you can get it.
It was just funny.
Sadie, hard to imagine the president.
Was it the attorney general or the solicitor general? What was Richardson? The attorney general?
I can't believe the special prosecutor.
It wasn't the attorney general.
Nixon demanded that the attorney general fire the special prosecutor, Archibald Cox. When the attorney general refused to do that, he fired him.
Right.
And then the deputy attorney general, he demanded, and that person refused. And so then the third person did in fact.
Who was? The third person was
Bork, right?
Robert Bork.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Robert Bork, yeah.
Sadie says, hard to imagine the president's action as anything other than one more in a series of quick look over here, not there, attempts at misdirection. And that's from Carolyn in Skodak. And Jess says, I can't listen to wild conspiracy theory shows like the Roundtable anymore. Yours, Jesse. Bye, Jesse. And then what? Bye. So long. Why does no one address the moral vacuum that's running in the country? This country, Trump and Comey firing would be laughable if it wasn't so staggeringly serious. How can Mercer and Peter Thiel in cahoots with Sessions, etc., and Bannon's Cambridge Analytica that helped fund Brexit, how can they all get away with it? Why is everyone so tentative about calling blatant dishonesty? Peace and love.
Okay. That's a good question. Why is everybody so hesitant?
What? Who's been hesitant? You guys have been all over this.
About the Republican, even Republican, this is the point Alan was making a few moments ago about our local representatives. But when you have the Senate and the House, and where, as I believe, Alan, the term you used was rubber hits the road. So why are they hesitant in speaking out on this?
Don't know which way to go.
Well, what is there?
They're confused. They don't want to lose their offices.
Isn't it possible that people actually agree that he should have been fired? I think he should have been fired.
Okay. Well,
I think he undermined the credibility of the FBI. I think what he did in the Clinton investigation was awful. And I think anything he does is not going to have any credibility.
Okay. One, Russians. Two, Russian investigation. One, and one makes two. End of discussion.
Yeah. And Rich, find something in that investigation, and then we'll have a conversation.
Oh, but Rich, you know, the line of the Republicans is that you've shown no clear evidence that the Trump administration colluded with the Russians. Even if you want to take that, there is clear evidence that the Russians were involved in our elections, and that needs to be looked at. And if that does lead to all of the different dots being connected and show that the Trump administration did collude, all the more serious. But isn't it serious enough that the Russians colluded in our elections, and don't we need to figure that out?
I thought we are. We have five different investigations.
The President of the United States,
including the
last
FBI
week,
investigation.
Just last week, yet again, the President of the United States said he didn't know that to be true. Maybe it was the Chinese. Maybe it was somebody else. I mean, this is a serious problem in our country that needs to be dealt with.
You guys are making some
serious, you know, with.
I agree, but you guys are making a referential leap that by changing the FBI director, somehow all of these investigations, including non-FBI investigations, somehow come to a halt.
Yeah, let's see who he puts in there, Rich.
Let's see.
Let's see who he puts in there. And whether,
you think that
and whether from now on, FBI guys know that they serve at the pleasure of the president, and I want to know what's going on between that Russian ambassador today and the president.
Wait a minute, Alan. It was
the
FBI agents themselves that had huge, huge problems with Comey's handling and that press conference
that he
gave last July. There were tons
you
of FBI
to reaction
people
last
who came
night.
Out publicly and said, you don't do that.
That's in the New
in
York
fact, even
office.
Your guy, Eric Holder, said, you don't do that.
What? Your guy? What do you mean? He
what do you mean my guy?
Alan doesn't have a guy.
He's not
but
my
I do
guy.
I like him. I do like him.
All right. We are 6 minutes late for a break.
Okay.
So let's hold. We'll take a break. Rob will be happy with us, and we'll...
I need some quarters for the meter.
Okay. We'll be back after this.
Support for WAMC comes from the University at Albany Theater Program, working to train the next generation of performers, designers, technicians, playwrights, and stage managers, albany.edu/theater. Villa Veritas Foundation, Kerhonkson, New York, an inpatient rehabilitation and wellness center providing healing, focusing on the body, mind, and spirit for those with various forms of addictions. VillaVeritas.org for inquiries. George Heigl Antiques, Boston Spa, New York, offering estate sale services, including management, appraisals, and evaluations for individuals, families, and businesses, 518-396-7974. And Schoharie River Center, now recruiting youth ages 13 through 18 for the Archaeology Field School Program at Lansing Manor in North Blenheim, New York, June 26th through 30th, schohariverivercenter.org for registration.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. And we are talking about the firing of James Comey, the FBI director. We are talking about the many facets to this large story. And Alan is Are you? Hello. Alan is going to read to us some more letters.
I am. I was looking in the mirror to find out if I was dying because Teresa said, you don't look well. And that's because I got 3 hours of sleep, so I wanted to make sure. You.
Okay, are those the old letters?
These are the old ones. Right, you
I'll
can take those.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Okay, here we go.
All right, would you like a muffin?
No, I don't eat muffins. Okay. That's white flour.
All right, what would you eat?
Nothing.
Okay.
Okay, that's why I don't look well.
There's just nothing we can
Bob
do about
says,
that, is there?
We have muffins?
Rich.
I can get you muffins.
I'm always a step
Sally
behind
Yates,
everybody here.
Rich.
Yes.
This is to you. Sally Yates appears to have been a career non-political attorney. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That needs to
why
be.
Oh, my
her,
God.
Why do you call her a Democratic operative?
I agree
First
with
of all,
the...
Sally Yates should have been disbarred. Should have been disbarred, and I'll tell, and not because of the political stuff.
And you'll tell us why.
Rich, who was Sally Yates appointed by?
I thought Bush.
Republican, no. Yeah. Republican.
Yeah.
What makes it, has served for years
a,
among Republicans and Democrats?
Side,
oh,
Rich.
Come on. She's
Sally she is Yates, a career she, public servant, Rich.
Okay, so here's the interesting thing.
Why should
thing.
She be disbarred?
So now the people who are carrying on the FBI investigation in Comey's absence, they're career public servants too. But when they're career public servants who serve the Democrats, they're career public servants. When they're not, they become like deep state operatives of somebody else.
Who
so
said
if
no,
we
wait
trust,
a minute, because I think one of the things we have to no, I think one of the things we have to you know put our hopes in is that the career public servants will do their job.
Yeah, but
for
the problem
country.
That's what I'm doing.
The problem is they keep on being fired.
Right. And they're being Who? Supervised, and they get
well,
the message.
Well, Yates was fired.
She
Comey
wasn't
was
a political
fired.
Appointee,
okay.
Rich. She was a career
of all,
public
I,
servant.
I consider Comey political. I don't consider Comey. I'm talking about the professionals, you know, that are all below that level that are doing the actual investigation.
And when
okay,
the word comes down
about.
From the top, lay off. Were you thinking they're not going to lay off?
No.
Oh
well,
yeah,
I,
no, they're
going to
lay off.
All.
They're going to lay
not
off because that's what
I bet a lot of them.
That's
one,
super,
one hopes.
That's
one
what
hopes.
A lot of them are still wondering why they never had subpoena power in the Clinton investigation. Why they never called a grand jury.
Come on,
in the
stop it. We're not talking about the Clinton people
the,
now.
The,
we're
the
talking
Sally
about
Yates,
this one.
Sally
right
Yates
now.
Should have been disbarred, and the reason I'll tell you why. It's she did not agree. She legally did not agree with the executive order that Trump signed, which is fine. She didn't want to defend it, which is also fine. If
courts
she more,
have upheld that three
right.
times.
But what she did was she said publicly that it was that she wouldn't defend it because it was unconstitutional. And at the time, she was still supposed to be the lawyer for the administration. If she doesn't want to defend it, she doesn't have to defend it. But for her to come out publicly and say that it's unconstitutional is a breach of attorney-client privilege. And any
it is not.
Any attorney in the world who wants to get out of a case is not allowed to say that the reason they're getting out of the case is because they don't think the case has merit.
But Rich,
she
we're
should
talking
have been
about the acting attorney general of the United States. She is a profile in courage.
She did
oh my lord!
Yeah,
she
come
did a
on.
Job, and yeah. and the courts have upheld her decision three times. Rich,
lower courts.
Okay. Jim says, why does every news story out of Washington this year include the phrase, you just can't make this stuff up? Okay. And he
chaos.
And Jim is from Parrish, Florida. Is that not great that people are listening all around the world to WAMC now?
Mm-hmm.
Panel, maybe journalists will have to save the country. If they keep investigating, maybe they will find the information that will force Congress to do the right thing. Doris in Argyle, where everybody.
I wish I had that kind of faith.
We do need to look to journalists, but also career public servants and Republicans. And Republicans, I think, will be moved by their constituents when they start hearing from their constituents.
Yes, I agree with you.
Teresa, do you have the faith that there'll be journalists who? Because I don't. I don't have faith that there are journalists who are going to find whatever the truth is. Do you? Do you think that we still have that kind of investigative journalism?
I don't think there's any question about it.
Right.
And I think that the people who are really ticked off about this whole thing will make sure that that information gets to journalists.
What was your statement? That do you believe that investigative journalists will get to the bottom of the story?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you don't
I'm not
know.
Sold
that's
on it.
Safe,
I think that they will work on it.
No, meaning I
No,
I,
he
I,
means he's not sure that they will.
I tend to side with Richard, wondering if this convoluted thing will ever know everything.
Well, it ain't going to be the Senate, it ain't going to be the House, and it ain't going to be the Attorney General,
so
it damn well better be the journalist.
Well, and I'm saying we
no,
have...
I hope so.
I do think...
But will it? That's right. The question. And that's what
I'm
I,
not
I,
sure
I think career public servants are critical here in terms of standing up for the rule of law, and I also think that Republicans, what will the House and Senate Republicans do? And I think part of that will be determined by public sentiment about this. this. And this, also, you have to think about what's the impact this is going to have on all of the governing that needs to be done on the health care bill, on housing, sure, on taxes. You know, wow. What's this going to do to the markets? If this starts rattling the markets.
Do we know what's in the market today?
Just down 11. Yeah.
Okay. All right. The FBI chief had kept subjects of his investigation very close and often claimed they were, quote, classified, and he couldn't talk about them in public. What's our commander-in-chief doing leaking the, quote, news that he himself is not under investigation? Okay, good morning, panel.
Good morning.
2 points. One, special prosecutor will be appointed, if appointed, by acting AG Rothenstein. Sessions recused himself. Rothenstein was confirmed.
McCabe
94
is the acting AG.
What?
The acting AG is McCabe, I think.
I think they mean deputy.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I think he's referring to the deputy.
Acting, yeah, no, Rothenstein is number two, right. Sessions recused himself. Rothenstein was confirmed 94-6 last month. Two, the misleading middle sentences read Comey's assurances is bogus, where Comey lied to Trump, but the FBI has admitted on the record, under oath, on April 6th, that there is an ongoing investigation, D.C. Circuit case number 16-1827, Leopold and Shapiro versus DOJ at paragraph 10. Rich, pull it on Pacer.
We know about that. We know about the subpoenas that have been issued.
Yeah. Well, there.
I don't think anybody's arguing that there's not an investigation in process.
Well,
you guys somehow think that the investigation ends today.
I think it can't be helped by what this guy did. Why he did it.
By getting rid of the specter of Comey.
Come on. Barbara. Trump is great at smoke and mirrors. Isn't it possible that whomever he appoints will go after Hillary to take attention away from his Russian connection? Anything is possible.
I think that's very possible.
I think that that's what this. You know, I think that they're trying to shift attention back to the Hillary case. I mean, clearly, if you read that three-page letter, they're trying to fuzzy up the conversation.
And naive. Over and over, Trump.
How many you got there, Alan?
What'd you say?
How many
two,
letters you
two,
got there?
Two.
Okay, finish those up and then we have to go.
Over
to
and
break.
Over, Trump demonstrates that he's unstable and needs to be removed. Time to call up the 25th Amendment. Hello, 25th Amendment. Wait a second. You need to have the Congress with you to do the 25th Amendment. So stop, call up the 25th Amendment. I mean, I can understand what you're doing there, Daisy, but, you know, please.
But nice people are learning different aspects of our Constitution.
Yeah. Michael says, you mean he was fired?
Always with a silver lining. Go ahead.
You mean he was fired because Trump was angry about the way Comey treated his good friend Hillary Clinton as per the emails which got him elected? Michael.
All right, we're going to pause there. Ray Graff has news. We will be back with more letters, more discussion, and Rich is going to go move his car so he doesn't get a ticket if he hasn't already.
Probably
yeah, please
one.
Don't ticket Rich, we'll okay, be... Mr. and Miss Police Person, if you're listening.
Depends on where they are on the political spectrum, I think. We'll be back after this. All right, we're back. That was a very productive break. Rich moved his car. Teresa got tea. Alan got an orange. All's good. We're ready to go for the...
We're all fueled up. We're fired up. We're
ready
to go.
Yeah, we're ready to go. We have letters. We'll go to the letters. Or I can talk about something else.
No, I got it. I got
your citrus.
Wouldn't the tax returns of almighty POTUS exonerate or condemn?
That's right. It all comes down to the tax returns.
Well, there's a reason he's not doing it, Rich.
Yeah.
It doesn't?
Huh? You think it all comes? You think that this was all a diabolical scheme to not have the IRS continue the?
No, I didn't say that at all. I was just asking about the Russia issue. Would that add a dimension? Do you think?
No.
Okay. Next,
Michael. Boy, if I ever get accused of a crime that I clearly committed, you bet I would call Rich Honan to defend me. His ability to speak in complete sentences and spin demonstrative facts into subjective issues astounds me. Mildly nauseous in Socrates.
Mildly nauseous.
He is following the Republican talking points. I mean, it was fascinating to listen to Kellyanne Conway and the folks last night, Giuliani. They're all on the same script.
What were they saying? What were the
what
points?
You're saying? The points are...
I don't know.
I thought.
What were they saying? Same crap you're saying.
The basic talking point was, you know, this guy wrote this 3-page letter. He's just come on board. The Democrats and the Republicans support him overwhelmingly. And it's his deep concern about the fate of the FBI. And of course, President Trump had to listen to his new appointee and do what he recommended. He's putting it all on the recommendation.
As Alan mentioned at the beginning of the show, we had our annual meeting last night. So we're the staff and everybody were all over at the Linda when the story broke. And Sarah LaDuc, our wonderful producer, had a great line because she came up and she goes, I wonder what the level of nauseousness is now for James Comey. Mildly nauseated. I assume that's gone up a peg or
two. For those people who have been in some other place for a while, Comey, just sometimes we talk inner baseball.
Yeah.
Mixed metaphor. But Comey did say that if he had anything to do with the election, it would make him mildly nauseous.
Right. Well, and you read
Sally Yates disbarred, refusing to violate the Constitution is not a breach of attorney privilege, says Deborah. Her advice was ignored, and not proceeding to defend would have become public in any event, and that's from Deborah.
But publicly stating the reason for it and publicly undermining your client's case is a disbarrable offense, and she should have been.
Nonsense. Joshua says, there is no winning with you people. I love that, you people. Trump did praise Comey's press conference last year. The Justice Department did not. Bipartisan ridicule led to a review which determined Comey could no longer serve in good faith as a director. What bipartisan review? The Russia investigation isn't going anywhere, but you don't have to feign outrage when the left literally wanted this exact thing just a few months ago. Let me just say something to you, Joshua, for whatever it's worth. We love your letters, and that is, I'm not feigning anything. I'm outraged. That's all there is to it. Okay, Russell says, the press asks questions on behalf of the American citizenry, and the president doesn't take questions from the press. Hence, we don't get our questions answered. Russ, in Northfield, Massachusetts, we love Northfield. Roger says, when A.G. Richardson refused to obey an order from President Nixon to fire Special Prosecutor Cox, he then took the only honorable course open to him and resigned. By analogy, when Sally Yates decided she could not follow what she considered an unconstitutional executive order from President Trump, why didn't she resign?
My same question.
How could she, following her own conscience, decide to remain in office? The answer, I believe, is obvious. She simply acted in this dishonorable fashion because she wanted to make a political statement, probably in pursuit of elective office, joining the loyal resistance movement. From Roger. And Mary Ellen says, Trump's choice of words in his tweets on the Comey firing are crass and brutal. James Comey made mistakes, but he did not have to be dismissed as if hit by a drone. This is the kind of blindsiding that can lead to a person's suicide. Remember that Trump's father raised Donald to be a, quote, killer. Comey was clearly conflicted, and he would probably have quietly resigned without his constitutionally questionable action. And that's from Mary Ellen.
No way he would have resigned. Do you think? You think he would have resigned, Teresa?
Do I think Comey would have resigned?
Yeah.
No way.
No. I don't think Comey. He said he wouldn't resign. But I do think the letter references the president's tweets. And there is a difference between the tweets from his government. I mean, there should be a difference between the tweets from his government Twitter account and from his personal one. And I think, you know, some people have raised questions about some of the things that he's tweeted from his government account. And I think that those are legitimate questions, and particularly about potentially trying to influence the FBI and the Attorney General's office in the midst of an investigation, which the president is not supposed to do that.
With all due respect, though, does it matter? I mean, if the president tweets, no matter what form or platform, does it really matter? Because it's still coming from the president.
Right. Well, the influence, it doesn't matter. But there is a difference between how you can use your personal and your government, you know, Twitter account.
With all that's going on, Teresa, as much as I love you and appreciate everything you're saying, we're talking about tiddly poo here, as opposed to.
As A. A. Milne once wrote, tiddly poo, tiddly poo.
The more it snows, I don't think tiddly poo.
But is it tiddly poo to try to influence the outcome of an investigation?
I'm sure. Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Upcoming.
You think that's what's going on here? Duh. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think you're not supposed to try to you know, influence the outcome of an investigation.
So the meme that's going around has James Comey, Sally Yates, and Preet Bharara are the three people who were fired, and the three people who were investigating Trump were Sally Yates, James Comey, and Preet Bharara. Is there something to be made of that?
Is that true? Is that even true? Preet Bharara was investigating Trump?
He was
Yates was investigating Trump? Is that true?
I don't know about Sally Yates. I was wondering about Sally Yates. This is what Schumer put out last night. But certainly
Schumer said it's got to be true. But I mean,
No. I don't understand. No, what I'm saying is I didn't understand the Sally Yates component of that. But certainly Preet Bharara was rumored to be looking into what happened in New York City. In the Trump Tower.
Well, wait a second. Sally Yates was, I'm sorry to speak with my mouth full, but Sally Yates was, right?
Alan was flagging, so we got him food. So just put up with the...
Sally Yates was the acting attorney general, so therefore she was investigating.
You're right. Yeah.
I don't see that. Was the attorney general investigating Trump? I thought the FBI was.
Well, the FBI.
I thought the FBI was investigating Russian meddling in the election.
It may include collusion by the Trump administration.
Yeah, it's been 9 months. Let's see when that comes up.
All right. Can't win with the original.
What else you got?
Oh, come on. That investigation is just rolling right along.
The question is, so now one of the things that I want to bring up is we've touched on this, but where do we go from here? So what's next? Who will be? We've talked about Chris Christie. We've talked about Giuliani. I don't know if either of those are really within the realm. They certainly have been up for other jobs. They haven't gotten them. And if you're going to, as Lindsey Graham said this morning on all of the talk shows, that you have to find somebody. They're looking for somebody that can work with both Republicans and Democrats. I don't know whether we could take.
Well, maybe they're looking.
Head of the FBI have to work with.
That they would approve the bipartisan.
What they're really looking for is a shill. Ever think of that? Maybe what they're looking for is somebody who will not go further into what is clearly the deepness and the richness of the Russian potential richness of the Russian investigation. Well, come on, you'd have to be completely naive not to understand what has happened here. He fired somebody because he was getting close. End of discussion.
So, right, but who do you then get that will actually come in and
a
then
shill.
What is
You get a shill.
Okay.
They always found one. Remember that guy, Leon Jaworski?
Sure. Yeah.
In the Watergate thing?
Yeah.
They kept going down the line till they finally found, you know, the right guy who would be compliant. That's what's going to happen here.
Well, who are they going to get? And I mean, aren't the steps that first they have to find somebody, right? And then decisions have to be made about the status of investigations and whether independent prosecutors need to be brought in. But I don't see how you can make any of those decisions until you first replace the FBI person.
Let me tell you what they're going to get. They're going to get a who-he. That's WHO-he, who-he. They'll find themselves somebody who will be compliant and who will do their bidding. It's that simple.
And this is where the Republican Senate comes in, because the person is nominated by the president, but then he or she has to be confirmed by the Senate. Now, it's a 50-vote majority, 51 votes, and so Pence plus 50 senators. Now, they already have, as of this morning, four or five senators, Republican senators, who question opposing the firing.
I don't think it's going to be a straight party line vote. Do you?
Well, it depends on who they nominate, Trump nominates.
I come back to this. Who are they going to nominate?
I don't know.
That's what we get paid to figure out.
That was the question.
And then the other question is how long... They also don't like McCabe, the person, you know, the Trump administration doesn't like the person who's now in charge. And so how long will he stay in charge? Because this is not going to be a short process.
It is clear they want to move as fast as they can to get this behind them.
Well, I think we should have a head of the FBI. Right?
Good morning, panel. Well,
at least start that process.
Here's a good example of what just happened. Good morning, panel.
Good morning.
Please allow Rich Honan to speak a complete thought.
But you guys, thank you.
I am
thank you, but you guys were, I thought.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Part of what goes on here is that we talk to each other, and sometimes we talk in an animated fashion.
And we know what he's going to say.
Also, I noticed this when we did the live show the other day, is, you know, when you're sitting together, you know when somebody is kind of done with their thought, You know what I mean? And,
right.
and you know, we're all kind of, you know, we're looking at the next person who we know is going to speak. So it might sound like we're stepping on each other, and we're usually not.
And then
although Alan does sometimes.
And then Joanne, and then Joanne says, please don't force me to watch Fox News. Okay.
Oh, it's very important to watch Fox News. It was fascinating last night. Actually, that's an important point.
Were they shilling?
Well, the difference between what, you know, you're reading in the New York Times, you were seeing on CNN, and then you were watching on Fox News was quite stunning.
Who did Fox have? Did they have Gingrich? They usually have Gingrich.
They had Gingrich.
They had
Kellyanne.
And they had Kallstrom on. You should listen to the Kallstrom interview. That was fascinating. He's the person who used to be in the FBI, who reportedly may or may not have had contact with the New York office in the midst of the Hillary Clinton investigation.
And Tucker Carlson. That, you know, the substance of what he's saying is not that much different than Bill O'Reilly, but boy, he has no gravitas at all, does he?
I don't love the new, and obviously I watch Fox News, but I don't love the new Fox News lineup. I didn't like what Tucker Carlson was doing, and I certainly don't like it in the post O'Reilly, you know, now that they've changed everything around.
It was just boring.
Carlson, yeah, it's so boring. It's just people yelling at each other.
Has always been boring. When he came on, when we discussed it on the roundtable, I said he's going to be boring, and he is boring.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not a watchable show.
We got letters about this, but, you know, Bill O'Reilly, at least, was entertaining. Scary, but entertaining.
But the divide in this country, I mean, it really shows, and this, I think, may further divide the country. And again, I go back to the Pollyannish. There's so much work that needs to be done. And this is the FBI. They have real work. You know, we have all sorts of threats in this country at this time. And this has to be a tremendous and dangerous distraction that is unnecessary.
Yeah, I very much agree.
It's really worrisome because... You know, think
Trump
about 9/11. Think about 9/11. You know, there's so much work that these folks need to be doing to protect us and to deal with very complicated issues of the day. And, you know, this is a terrible, unnecessary distraction.
Mark says, what would Rich say if Hillary had won and fired Comey while still being investigated?
That would have been bad, too.
Bad, too. That's right.
I'm not saying this is great, but the guy had to be fired. And by the way, we don't know that Trump's being investigated. We knew Hillary was being investigated.
Something made him fire them. I'm sorry,
Rich, Alan.
Please.
Wait, did we not know this?
No, we did know this, but
do we know that Trump himself is being investigated? Do we know this?
We do not, because Trump told us he wasn't.
We knew Hillary was being investigated. We know Mike Flynn's being investigated. We know that Carter Page.
Paul Manafort.
We know they are being investigated.
But so then you can't look at that and say, if you have prominent members of the campaign, including your campaign manager, that cannot extrapolate to concerns over the person who's...
And your administration. Flynn was brought into the administration. And for 18 days, they knew that they had a problem with Flynn, and why did it take 18 days while he was in meetings with the Russians and others when they knew he was compromised?
And no tax returns. Remember that? No tax returns. We have kids making utterances. His kids
it's
making...
It's an oldie but a goodie.
I know, but I still haven't
heard
of it.
Wait, I'm not done yet. For God's sakes, can I just finish the sentence, Rich?
Okay, while you guys are laughing, I'm going to say other stuff.
Okay, but that's an old technique of, we know anytime we interrupt Alan, he'll always forget what he was going to say.
Okay, I know what I'm going to say.
Did it work?
Go ahead, say it.
The other thing that it's a little thing, but I'm fascinated about. Comey misstated the facts in a very significant way at the hearing last week.
Yes.
When he said that Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's assistant, he said that she had sent thousands and thousands of emails to her husband to print out, and that they were included classified information. Now, when he said that at the hearing, that didn't ring true to me. It caused incredible, you know, kerfuffle and headlines. They had to know immediately that that was wrong.
Oh, I think they did.
They did not correct that.
They have now walked it
yesterday.
Back.
No, I know they, but I thought,
yesterday they walked it back. They did not walk it back until yesterday.
Well, I thought it was earlier than that.
No,
yeah. No, it was yesterday
they did
morning.
Not. ProPublica came out on Monday evening with a report documenting how that was wrong. And then only yesterday, and they said that there had been a lot of back and forth within the FBI and the AG's office about how to correct that. Why did it take a week to clarify that
right.
very, very important point?
And by the way, so what happened was in that, so Comey said that Abedin had sent, you know,
thousands of
emails that were found on her husband's
Anthony
computer.
Computer.
It turned out, in fact, what happened was her BlackBerry was hooked up to the computer, and the BlackBerry backed up.
Automatic.
So, yeah,
she
so there was
did
an automatic
was
backup, which now, yes, it put it on the hard drive, and you could have that discussion. But it's not like she didn't send
she
these
didn't
over
knowingly
to her.
Do it.
And yeah, I thought. Now, do you think that was? Are you looking at that conspiratorially, or do you think that just shows? To me, that showed that he's way more out of touch with this investigation than I expected him to be. I thought that he would have these facts at his fingertips and be wrong on something like that.
Well, I don't. I just
that
want,
sounds like he was doing talking points.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I want
no?
to know why the
both.
Having that out there was good for the Trump team. And
the
you
mistake
know,
having the mistake,
having
out,
the mistake
there.
Out there was good for the Trump team.
Oh,
so why was there resistance to cleaning it up? Did the Trump team and the Trump PR operation that's now in control of the FBI and the AG's office, why were they so slow in clearing this up?
Well, maybe I'm wondering, and I know we're really hypothesizing here, but
we're also
we're out of time.
I'm just wondering if Comey knew. If somewhere in Comey's circle they knew that once they admitted that, that was going to be the last straw, and that's what
well,
the Trump people were waiting
and then
to
he
jump
got
on.
Fired.
It's
yeah.
possible.
The
it's possible.
Timing
he
is
cleared
timing.
It up.
One more letter. I must
seconds.
Read. Eileen says, I love the level of Alan's outrage. Thank you. Completely called for. Keep it up.
Thank you very much. Thanks to the appropriately outraged Alan Chartok, Teresa Bourgeois, and Rich Honan. We will be back after this.